Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Personhood is marching across this country. Colorado last year, first state in the nation to get personhood on a statewide ballot, and we doubled the percentage by conventional wisdom of voters who would approve a total ban on abortion. Now we have personhood efforts in 40 states. In the last week or so, we've talked to the personhood sponsors in Alaska and in Missouri. Well, down south, south of us, southeast, is the great state of Texas. And there's rumblings, personhood rumblings in Texas. But first I want to tell you about a real tragedy. Some years ago, there was a terrible crime, the kind of crime that you don't even like to mention. And in fact, just describing it is painful. And the Bible tells us that just to describe the deeds of the wicked is just so difficult. And so it will take me 8 seconds to say what happened. And if you have kids in the car, I'll tell you when. Why don't you turn down your audio just for 8 seconds? And that's in 3, 2, 1 right now. All right. There was a gang rape of a woman by 8 men. And you can imagine what was. And now let's welcome back the moms and dads who had kids in the car who just turned down their audio for 8 seconds. You can imagine the horror of that crime. Well, through that, even through the horror, there was a child conceived. And then this child becomes an adult and in the year 2005 finds out the circumstances of her conception. And Judah Myers, your thoughts toward God, toward your mother, when you found out how you were conceived?
I am most grateful to have life. I thank my mother because she's a hero. I thank my God because he is the one who really created me.
Mm. Judah, you and I have become friends just recently, partly because of the personhood movement that is like a wave going across this country. But I'd like the audience to get to know you a bit, because some people might end up being really angry, or of course it's traumatic to find out how you were conceived. But you have had a ministry reaching out to others to tell them about God, to tell them about innocent life, children in the womb. And this has been a very powerful part of your history that you found out.
Yes. I want people to know that just because a person is raped, that another person shouldn't become a victim.
Mm.
And I'm very much a person. Mm. And to say that I didn't deserve to live because of my father's criminal background does not make any sense. We're human. I'm not the only one. There's so many more.
Yeah,
like
Judah.
Me.
Right. We have spoken to women, to the moms, and to the children. And some of these stories are out of the horror of the rape comes the beauty of a child. And it's not the child that's evil. In fact, there was a Law and Order episode a few months ago about an abortionist who was killed at church. And it was obviously about Wichita's George Tiller. And in that episode, it is the most pro-life network TV program ever aired. And we strongly caution people, do not watch Law and Order. It's immoral. It's a virtual soft porn program. But that episode is pastor approved. People could watch the entire episode on our website, KGOV.com. But in that episode, a black detective who's a regular character, he is talking to another character who says, if a woman is raped, she should have an abortion. And he said, that's my mother you're talking about. My mother was raped. And he said, it's the rape that is horrific, not the child. The child is not the problem. It's the crime. And so I'd like to quote a Bible verse, and maybe I should give a warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice, raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. I'm sure, Judah, you have read the passage from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16. And this is what God told Moses to write in Scripture. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own crime. And so that's a pretty clear statement of what you said so eloquently a moment ago, Judah, that because of your father's crime, you should not be punished. Yeah. And we find that also, that's throughout the Bible. Way later in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 18, we read that the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So to be a liberal today in America, you'd have to want to kill the baby and protect the rapist. And God, in his word, says quite the opposite. You punish the rapist and you love and protect the baby. So scripturally, Judah Myers, do you find that Christians are aware of the importance of this issue when you talk to them about personhood?
You know, I wished I could say that uniformly everyone got it. But I would be lying if I said that, because so many people, even Christian, supposedly Christian friends of mine.
Yeah, and could you speak up,
Obama,
Judah, could you speak up a little louder?
Well, when I was talking to people who were going to vote for Obama, I told them that he actually said that if his grandchild were born at an inconvenient time, he would suggest, you know, abortion, because he didn't want to punish his children.
If his daughter had conceived
a child
and it really didn't work into her life plan, he would recommend killing his own grandchild in his daughter's womb.
And so I told my friend, that's saying that they want me dead as well. She actually said she had to, quote, be true to self. And so she went ahead, she voted for Obama, and no, I don't understand, but there are a lot of people who think that even as Christians, we deserve to have a choice. But God said, today I set before you life and death, choose life.
Mm.
He actually had to tell us to do that.
Right, and let's think that through at a couple levels. Yeah, God gives people choice, and so a man could make a choice to own another man as a slave, to purchase a black man at a slave trading event, but that is wicked, and it's not only sinful, it's a crime. Therefore, all Christians should say, you don't have the right to purchase a black man and enslave him. And the government should say, we're not going to permit the purchase of a black man because it's a crime against this individual, the black person. The same thing is true with kidnapping. I mean, there are people who choose to kidnap.
Right.
And just because they have that ability doesn't mean that we as Christians should say, well, sure, you have the choice to kidnap. Things that are crimes, God says that the government should stop, and even we as private citizens should try to stop a kidnapping or a murder or a rape if we have the ability to stop these things. And so the Christian who says, well, you have a choice to kill Jews, you have a choice to lynch blacks, I don't want to interfere, that Christian is guilty of hatred of his neighbor. Jesus said, love your neighbor. If you say, I personally wouldn't own a slave, but I'm not going to criticize others who own slaves, that's called hatred.
Exactly.
Judah, you agree with that? How about in Germany, when most Christian churches turn their back on the plight of the Jews, would you say they were loving their neighbor?
Absolutely not. And I go on to say that if you do not influence as the Lord says to and speak out, you will also become a victim.
Mm.
There's a scripture in Leviticus 5:1 that says, if a person sins because he does not speak up when he hears a public charge to testify regarding something he has seen or learned about, he will be held responsible. I don't want to stand before God responsible for the blood or the wrong done in my country. I want to be able to stand up for God no matter what, whether I'm the last man standing.
Mm. And so when people say, well, I have to be true to myself, as you said just a bit earlier, Judah, mm-hmm. I think what they're not realizing is God addresses that in the Bible. And he says, for example, at the very end of the book of Judges, God says everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes.
Right.
And that this was a great wickedness. When people say, and I hear Christians say this all the time, even as late as this past week, I heard a Christian say, well, you have to do what you think is right. And I could say who said this to me. It's a Christian leader in the Denver metropolitan area. I won't give his name or his title, but he said to me, you know, you have to do what you think is right. And inside I cringed, and I thought, because there were others listening, and I didn't want to admonish or correct this leader in front of others, and I thought we could do it indirectly like this on the air, and hopefully he'll hear. But God condemns those who say you got to do what you think is right. It is absolutely incorrect. We have an obligation to know what God thinks and to obey him. We don't have an obligation to do what we think is right. That's a way of leaving God completely out of the picture. If the Germans thought what they were doing was right, most people think what they're doing is right. And when you challenge them, they try to justify what they're doing. They have an obligation to find out what is right, what is wrong, learn right from wrong, and then do what's right. So your friends who say, I got to be true to myself, I got to do what I think is right, they are at every level ignoring God.
Absolutely. And yeah. It's just so sad to see people falling away. But the scripture did say that in the end times, there would be people falling away from the faith. And I've never seen it more than I've seen it now.
Mm. Yeah.
Houston just elected the first homosexual mayor, blatantly homosexual. Where were the Christians?
Where were the Christians?
16% came out to vote. Where were the Christians? I had one lady rebuke me for telling her that she needed to speak out and do stuff, and I would send her bulletins and things. And she said, stop sending me those emails because I'm just going to pray.
I'm just going to pray.
Faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead. And, you know, remember the Levite and the priest? When they saw that there was a victim of a crime and the Good Samaritan walked by and he saw this man left for dead by thugs. Mm-hmm. And the Good Samaritan, now Jesus said the Samaritans, they don't know who God is. When they worship, Jesus said, they don't know who they're worshiping. They don't know God. But the Levite and the priest of Israel, it's their role to minister the covenant of God to the people of Israel. They should know God, right? The Levite and the priest?
Exactly.
Yeah. And Jesus said the Levite and the priest, they walked around the guy who was left for dead. They walked on the other side of the street. You see, they were going to a Bible study. They had ministry to do. And Jesus said the Samaritan, he didn't know this guy, but he loved his neighbor. Jesus said the man who didn't even know God was the example of loving your neighbor. So when you take apathy and you try to present apathy as a Christian virtue, oh, we're not supposed to be concerned about what people do in their private lives. We're not supposed to be concerned about what people do. You're taking apathy, which is a form of hatred, and you're trying to present it as a Christian virtue, and God despises that. God despises that because that's not loving your neighbor, that's hating your neighbor, and you come up with a theology that makes you comfortable. It's a It's a theology with a couch and a remote control, and that's your theology.
You know, people want to use the verse, Hosea 4:6, my people they perish for lack of knowledge. But they don't go a step further and read the rest of that. It says, because you have rejected my knowledge.
Hmm.
Because you've rejected me, I'm going to reject you and your children.
Yeah, so as America suffers, as Houston is suffering with a lesbian mayor, and what's the largest church in that part of the world? What would you say, Judah Myers? Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how about Joel Osteen's church?
Yeah, there's several huge churches.
Mega churches. So Joel Osteen's church easily could have elected her. Easily. If no one else had voted, only his members. You know, Rick Warren in California, is he the pastor of Saddleback Church out there?
He is.
Rick Warren, he supported the marriage amendment in California. And after the election, he apologized to the homosexuals, and he said, I will never do that again. So Rick Warren is more interested in the approval of man than the approval of God, more interested in the approval of homosexuals than upholding the morality that God has revealed to us in his word.
And we don't love the homosexuals if we're just going to let them go to hell. That's what I keep trying to tell people. I love these people. If I didn't care, I'd just say, fine, go to hell. Instead, I'm trying to tell them the truth.
If I didn't care, I'd be Joel Osteen and make 10 times the money I owe.
Ooh,
wait, right off the bat, my producer shook his head when I said 10 times the money I make. 100 times the money I make? We're getting closer, he says. Rick Warren, 1,000 times the money I make? Okay, now we're getting in the ballpark. So, Judah Myers, if I didn't love these people, I just, like anybody else, live and let live. Who cares? It's no skin off my back.
Well, actually it is, because when you allow sin in your environment and you say nothing about it, the consequences now flow onto your life.
Because it destroys your children, your grandchildren. God says that you need to be a watchman on the wall and you need to warn people. And he says, when you don't warn them, then I will require their blood at your hands.
Yes.
At your hands. So when people kill their children, it turns their hearts harder against God, against the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Christian ministers, I think their God is comfort in their belly. I think their God is comfort in their belly, and it's a bit uncomfortable to confront the world. If you're in Germany and Dietrich Bonhoeffer is trying to get Christians to stand up and say, no, do not take an oath to Hitler. Do not allow your churches to take a oath of loyalty to Adolf Hitler. The Christians didn't get mad at Hitler. They got mad at Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
And they're still doing that today.
They're still doing it today. They didn't say, look, we're not going to tolerate the Democrats who support child killing. They don't say, we're not going to tolerate the Republicans who advocate child killing. They say, we're not going to tolerate the Christians who are trying to stop abortion. That's it. They don't judge anybody except for the Christian that wants to stop the killing of children. And the mom and the dad that kills their kids at Planned Parenthood, it turns their hearts harder against God.
50% of those women who are raped, who keep their child, are faster healing. Not necessarily keep
right.
their child, but give birth to the child, even giving them up for adoption.
They recover.
My mother was healed. She didn't hold all that bitterness. She actually forgave those five men, eight men in 5 years. She had to hold that grudge for 5 years.
Judah Myers, they recover from the trauma of the crime more quickly when they don't complicate and add to the horror by killing their own child.
Right.
Because when a woman is raped, that is the fault of the rapist. When she decides to kill her own child, not only does she now heap guilt upon herself and confusion and doubt and hardness against God, not only does she do all that because she's violating what God said, that the child should not die for the crime of his father, but then something worse is happening. she's beginning to spread an uncertainty through the culture about God creating children and children being made in God's image and likeness. And so she begins to become responsible for guilt that she perhaps never would have been responsible for. But then it's even deeper than that. Judah Myers' abortion for incest emboldens the rapist. More women are raped because Planned Parenthood gets rid of the evidence.
Right.
Abortion for incest emboldens the rapist, and the uncle, the stepdad, brings his niece, his stepdaughter, to Planned Parenthood, and they have no questions asked. They abort the child, and they send the girl home with her rapist.
I have a friend who had a baby for her father. She gave birth to that child because she refused to be part of the trauma, and her father is now in jail. She is a happy young woman, and her child was adopted. So everybody who were the victim is now not a victim, but they're flourishing because everything was done in God's way.
Judah Myers, and your website, by the way, Judah for Praise. And what a beautiful website you have, Judah.
There's no H on the Judah. Some people like to put J-U-D-A-H.
That's right. J-U-D-A
for number four.
Praise.com, Judah, J-U-D-A, number four, praise.com. What a beautiful website. You are an artist. In a moment, I'd like us to explain to the audience some of your background, the kinds of things you've done. But there is a picture on the right part of the header of your website. It is a glorious picture. The composition of that photo, I just love it. And when I found out that that's you in the picture, Judah, and that you composed the picture, I'm in awe of the skill, the talent that God has given you.
God has been very good to me.
He is good to you. You're quite an artist. And if your mother had believed the George W. Bush lie that a woman who's raped, it's okay for her to kill the child, you would not be here in this world. George W. Bush would approve of you being killed. And
not only would I not be here, but my two sons would not be here, and either of their two sons, one
right.
of which is 2 months old, would not be here.
And remember what George, now you didn't know, I didn't tell you, if you called in, if we talked, we interviewed you, that I might talk about George W. Bush. You and I have never talked about him. But in South Dakota, they tried to ban all abortions. And the pro-lifers have believed the lie that it's good to support those who have exceptions with rape and incest. What they forget is that the exceptions, that's what God gets angry at. Judah, was God excited about all the apples on the tree that Eve did not eat from? Was he so thrilled? Look at all the fruit she didn't bite from. Was that what he was excited about, the Lord God?
It would have been nice, but no.
No, God was concerned about the exceptions. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, was God excited? Did he list all the women that David didn't commit adultery with?
Never thought of it that way.
No, when King Herod murdered the children in Bethlehem, in Ephrathah, did God get excited about all the kids in Galilee Herod didn't kill? Of course not. God looks at the exceptions. And so here's George W. Bush, and in South Dakota, they wanted to ban all abortion, and Bush said, nope, I'm not going to support that. If you don't let me kill the few that I think you should kill, well, then they could go ahead and kill all of them for all I care, because I think you should be able to kill these. And that was the position of Planned Parenthood at the start, abortion for rape and incest and the life of the mother. And that's become the position of National Right to Life of all groups.
And they try to tell you that it's just 1%. Well, let me tell you, in the short period of time that I have known that I am that person, so many people have come to me. My neighbor was conceived in rape. What are the chances of that?
Judah.
Yes?
On ProLifeProfiles.com, we have a profile of George W. Bush. And we calculate the number of children he supports killing in 8 years as president. They say it's just a tiny percentage. It's 3.3 million children in 8 years that George W. Bush approved of killing in America. 3.3 million American children.
Wow, I had no idea.
God looks at the exceptions, and somebody could click on the exceptions calculator at Pro-Life Profiles for George W. Bush, find out exactly. Real quick, Judah, you're getting involved with personhood in Texas, is that right?
Yes, I am, because I believe I'm a person.
You are a person. And how about a few of the things you've done in your life that, could you brag for a moment? Could you please brag? Would it be okay to, some of the things you've done?
As long as you let me boast in the Lord, because without him, I can do nothing.
Amen.
So he has enabled me to go to South Africa and minister to rape victims there, because they are sometimes raped 5 times in their life.
Oh, what a tragedy. And we only have one more minute. So you've gone to Africa to minister.
And I speak all, anyone who wants me to speak, I also sing, have a full CD, I've written a book. So if anybody wants me to speak at their event, to encourage people that I'm a real live human being, I would love to do that.
You've done artwork for Dusty Hill of ZZ Top, and you're a spokesperson for Voice of the Martyrs. You're going to the United Nations.
I am. That's going to be March 9th. We're going to be speaking. There's going to be several of us, and just need everybody's prayers.
And if there are others who are conceived in rape, they should go, they should contact you and go with you.
Please do that.
To the United Nations?
I'd like to have as many people as possible that can go, because the stronger we are, the more they will believe us. If we have more people standing before them, then they will have to say we are human.
And Judah Myers, your website, judah4praise.com, J-U-D-A, the number 4, praise.com. Judah, it's people like you. I mean, when I think of all the people I know in my life, after 50 years, I have a category in my brain, in my memory, of extraordinary human beings. Extraordinary? You're in that category. You are extraordinary, and you are the kind of person all over this country that has gotten excited, caught the vision, and fighting for the personhood of the unborn child. That's why we're going to end abortion in our lifetime. It's because of people like you, Judah, and God working through us.
God is good.
God is good, huh?
And if somebody wants to even call me, 281-451-8460.
Say that again, 281.
281-451-8460 for a word of encouragement. Live me.
8460 and your website, judahforpraise.com. We're out of time, Judah. May God bless you.
Thank you,
and Maranatha.